happening, and I came so many times and I saw him. But did I see him? Because if we really saw him, then what Narahari is saying, because he's a liberated soul, he always tells the truth by realization and purity, then what he's saying, it should work with us too. If we really see him once, we should become stunned. Really stunned. Stunned means like you can't move. You become stunned and you forget. You forget everything else. When will that day be mine? Kavi Havi Bolo Sedin. That day, when will that day be mine? When I see Govindadev, I take one darshan, I become stunned. I become completely stunned. Govinda. And I forget everything else. Well, you know what they say. Better luck next time. Next time we go. I thought you were stunned there for a minute. You look like you were stunned just now. My dear friends, this is the famous verse that you quoted yesterday. This is the famous verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. See that Narahari is quoting from all different shastras. This is the way shastras are written. Usually, when you write authorized shastra, you write a shastra, you want to make a point, you want to tell some truths, you want to share some realizations, but you have to do it in the context of shastra, guru, shastra, and sadhu. You don't just say, I believe, I think, I feel, anything. It's not like that. So he's writing this book, Bhakti Ratnakara, but it's all full of just quotes from Puranas and from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam and everywhere. So it makes it very powerful, very pure. And so whenever we write a book or something, we do like that. So the appreciating Vrindavan Dham, there's 80 different shastras quoted in that. There's 30 Prabhupada's books, and Bhagavatam, that's one. I mean, it's not like Bhagavatam, that's one entry in the CC. It's like 30 of Prabhupada's books. And then there's 50 other books, Goswami Granthas. So when devotees read that, they say, wow, that's incredible, it's amazing. It's like when we read this Bhakti Ratnakara, chapter 5, fifth wave, which is called Mathura Mandala. This is amazing, it's incredible. Because it's Shastra. It's the words of the great liberated souls like Narada Muni and Lord Shiva, the Mahajan, Lord Shiva and Parvati and Radharani herself, Krishna, Lord Krishna and Arjuna. So it's bound to be a winner, as they say. Because it's simply you collect it all together and here it is. If I take, here's a ruby, here's a pearl, and then I collect an emerald, and then I collect a coral and a diamond. And all these jewels, and I put them together on a string, and I say, here's a necklace. Ah, what's that? No one's going to say, what's that? It's a necklace full of beautiful jewels and pearls. You say, wow, that's beautiful. Rubies and pearls and diamonds and emeralds and coral. It's so nice. And you'll put it on. So that's what these books are, the Goswamis, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Chaitanya Charitamrita. All different shlokas from all over the place. All different Vedas. It's like a necklace of gem-like shlokas shining with the beauty of beautiful descriptions of Radha and Krishna. So this is the shloka that he was mentioning. My dear friends, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshigat. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He is playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the full moon in the sky. Because this is a full moon night, the Sharad season. They go to the Vamshivat, and he calls the gopis, and then they start walking along Jamuna Pulin hand in hand, and it's all described in the chapters of Rasalila. And he's walking by Keshigat, they come up and they walk by Keshigat, and then they're starting in that area, they begin the Rasa dance. And then Krishna disappears, and he goes to Imlitala, and Sringharbhat, that whole area is saturated with it. All the pastimes of Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda. There's one ghat right near Sringar ghat, going down towards Keshigat. There's a ghat and there's a temple there. It's called Govinda ghat. That's where Govinda reappeared after he disappeared from the gopis. And they saw him standing there under a tree. It's a very wonderful area there. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita. Sri Govindadev has an eternal form of full knowledge and bliss. His form with two arms is so enchanting it attracts the heart of everyone. A man can free himself from worldly entanglement if he meditates on Krishna within his heart. Krishna is worshipped by the sweet, cool breezes created by the waves of the Yamuna. He is situated in the center of a jeweled lotus and is adorned with divine ornaments as he stands at the base of a Kalpa Vriksha tree, is surrounded by cows and gopis. Dressed in clothes as bright as lightning, the two-armed Vanamali, one who wears a garland of forest flowers, who has beautiful lotus eyes and complexion like a dark rain cloud, is the master of everything. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Oh, Srinivas, who would not offer respects at the feet of Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, and Vrindavan? The lotus feet of these three deities are the life and soul of everyone in Vrindavan. Madan Gopal has become famous in this world as Madan Mohan. I described that the other day. Sri Parvati asked Mahadev to explain the glories and transcendental nature of Govinda Dev. Mahadev said, Gopal himself is Govinda, and he eternally performs prakat, or manifest and unmanifest pastimes. He exists eternally at Yogapit in Vrindavan, and is the only lord of Vrindavan throughout the four yugas. He is worshipped by Nanda and the coward men, Vatsalya Ras. Even Krishna himself is overwhelmed by attraction and glorifies his own sweet form as Govinda. Even Krishna glorifies himself as Govinda. Somewhere, I don't know. Govinda stole the garments of the gopis and thus fulfilled the goal of their vows. He is the abode of spiritual bliss, and he always resides in Vrindavan in a form of blooming youth. He is the life and soul of Sri Radhika. His mouth is reddened by the betel leaf. When you chew betel, it creates red, you know, and then your lips and your teeth become red. Then it talks about Brahmakund. But Brahmakund is, there's a Brahmakund right behind there. Which Brahma, because when Indra came and made Govinda Kund, all the other demigods came and said, look, we want to bathe you too, Krishna, we want to have kunds too. So all the demigods came, there's Brahma Kund and Indra Kund and all, I mean, not Indra Kund, but Chandra Kund, so many kunds that were made, there was thousands of kunds all around Govardhan, where the demigods came and followed the example of Indra and bathed the Lord. So that's Brahma Kund. But this description here is talking about the Brahma Kund in Vrindavan, which is right next to Govindaji's temple. Right next to Rangaji. And there's a little tiny temple there with Nanda Maharaj and the coward boys and stuff. Old beat up temple. No one maintains it. It's just like diorama. Kind of falling apart. But this Brahmakund is all part of the yoga pit. Bamshibat, Gopishvar, and Govinda's yoga pit and this Brahmakund are all part of the same transcendental place. Because in the spiritual world, they also have this kund there. There's a kund called Brahmakund, which is full of swans and lotuses, and adorned on all sides by jewels. Now you go there, it's all dried up, and all mud on the bottom, and all the bricks are falling down, and it's all kind of dilapidated and broken. It really makes your heart break. But a Nitya Lila is adorned with jewels on all sides, and it's full of swans swimming around and beautiful lotuses. On the south side of the kund, south side means near Rangaji's side, there's a jeweled pavilion surrounded by mandara trees. That topmost place, Yogapit, is situated in the center of that pavilion. In that place, Krishna is fully enchanted by the love of the proudly smiling Sri Radhika, Vrindavaneshwari, and is completely under her control. Sri Vrindadevi is the embodiment of the beauty of Krishna. She is a great heroine and is expert in making arrangements to please Krishna. She is known as Leelavati. She's actually the Leela potency or Leela Shakti. She's known as Leelavati and remains forever in the east of the yoga pit. On the south stays Krishna Kali Vinodini. Shama. She who relishes the pastimes of Krishna. That's the name for Radharani. Krishna Kali Vinodini Shama. On the west and north, Bhagini Devi and Siddheshi Devi are respectfully situated. On the east is also the five-headed Lord Shiva. On the south is Sankarshan, who incarnates in 10 forms. On the west, the four-faced Brahma. And on the north, the thousand-headed Anantadev. There's a meditation here on Govinda. Meditation of Govinda is as follows. Glories to Govinda, who is as beautiful as a new flower, the performer of immortal leelas, who wears the dress of a wrestler. Glories to Govinda, who holds a flute in one hand and a jeweled stick in the other. His beautiful and broad shoulders are covered by a pure bright piece of yellow silk, and he charms the world. He places his left leg over his right leg while standing in his threefold bending posture. Actually, I think it's the wrong way around. It's his right leg over his left leg. If you ever notice, if you're really attentive in your meditation on the deities, at any place you've ever meditated on deities, you'll see that Krishna is standing on Radharani's right-hand side, and he's standing there and he's leaning with his head like this, and his left leg is quite straight, pointed, his left foot is there, but his right leg is crossed over his left leg, and his right foot is going up like this, and going towards Radharani. It's like this, and it goes like that. You see it going up like that. The left foot is flat. It's actually the right leg is crossed over the left leg. So when they translate, sometimes they get the thing wrong. And he can stand the other way, so it may be right. He can stand any way he wants, but usually he stands like this because some acharyas, Rasikacharyas, say, they say, do you know why he stands with his right leg crossed over his left instead of his left leg crossed over his right? Why is that? The acharyas explain that Krishna crosses his right leg over his left and he keeps his foot up like this so that he can, with the heel of his foot, he can touch Radharani's sari. So he can touch her sari because he's standing next to her. So it looks like they're just standing. He doesn't have his arm around her. He's just standing there playing his flute and he's leaning like this and she's, you know, like that. But actually, just so everyone knows, he never wants to lose connection or contact with Radharani. So privately and secretly, people don't understand, but yet there's a purpose of why he crosses his right leg over his left, so he can purposely and intentionally be in contact, touch the edge of Radharani's sari in her petticoat, her coral. The color of her petticoat under blue sari is the color of red coral. It's a coral-colored petticoat. Very beautiful. It's tied with the tassels hanging down inside, a string of tassels. Another reason for walking barefoot in Vrindavan, going barefoot and not riding on a bicycle and those kind of things, is that what's happening for those that have been in Vrindavan for off and on for 20 years, we've seen directly, is that there's less and less, we're having this understanding the other day, we walked to the temple, there's less and less opportunity to even raja Vrindavan. Because every little sandy, little cool, beautiful Chintamani footpath is being covered by bricks and asphalt. Even the very Brikama Mark itself, which used to be a tender, loving experience for our feet to walk around in the morning, is now about one third, maybe more, covered with asphalt. And cars rushing around. Where those cars are rushing now, there was never, ever one car would go. For months and months and months. Or a truck or a bus or any scooter or anything. Now you can't even walk out, BBB. It's practically getting run over in a Brikama Mark unless you go at 2 o'clock in the morning or, you know, or something like that. You know that experience?
Yeah.
It's hellish. Really hellish. It's even dangerous. In fact, it's actually dangerous. These tempos go flying by. They don't care. One bhakta named Bhakta Charles, he was walking to Vrindavan from Tura. He's kind of a really strong guy from France. And when he got knocked, he got hit in the leg and knocked him down and hurt him a little bit. But he's kind of recovered pretty soon. But he had a heavy cut in his leg. No, by like a little tempo thing. It's like a scooter kind of crazy little thing. So like that, we're seeing that every little footpath and little trail, little sandy lane, which was the beauty of Vrindavan, because those footpaths and sandy lanes and trails, some of them have been there for 5,000 years, since Krishna's time. And they have very intimate and sweet names to remind one of Krishna's pastimes. They're called gullies. Gully means lane or small path. They don't have autobahns or freeways and things like that. They have gullies and lanes. So they have names like Prem Gully and Man Gully and Don Gully. So all these gullies and lanes to walk down there bare feet and with the bare feet and to embrace the soil and to serve the soil with Padasevanam, serving Vrindavan by doing Brikama and becoming purified in that way and serving the Holy Dham that way is very beneficial for bhakti and to develop pure love for Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna. And the thing is, we should take advantage of it while we have an opportunity, because I've seen in the short spans of 20 years, there's less and less opportunities. Like even a little road behind, beside Bhaktivedanta Ashram, that's a dirt road. I'm pretty convinced within 10 years that'll be asphalt. That'll be an asphalt road all the way down there to that little dairy down there where all those buffalo are hanging around. You know, when you go behind Fogel Ashram, it kind of curves like that. It's already paved there. The whole thing will be paved. So that sweet little walk from Bhaktivedanta Ashram to the temple by Preetu's Ashram, and a little tiny little piece of sand in there even though there's a stool field and everything like that, it's really relishable. It's really a sweet little walk. I always go to the temple up and down that way. I don't ever go out on the other road unless I'm in a hurry. I take a rickshaw or something, you know, back to the house or something. Because I'm relishing. I think, oh, better enjoy this transcendental service pleasure now before it's all paved and asphalt. It's sad. It's a real sad thing. It's called the blacking of Vrindavan. Like, yeah, the greening of America. These books like The Greening of America are trying to... The ecology movement, the greening of this, or greening, bring back the green, plant trees, plant grass, plant flowers, bring back nature, bring back ecology. So in Vrindavan, it's like the blacking of Vrindavan, make everything asphalt, pave, you know, cover over everything. It's really a kind of... Well, it's more in this meditation I go into, Dave. So he places his right leg over his left leg while standing in a threefold bending posture. Having finished this silent meditation, one should recite the name of Hari 4 lakhs of times. Whew. Wow, that's a lot. 1 lakh, that means 4 times 64 rounds. 4 fours are 16, 24. 256 rounds. Then after performing Ajya Homa sacrifice or obligations. Obligations? It should be oblations. Obligations. It's got obligations. It should be oblations. Fire sacrifice with sesame seeds. One should offer flowers like champa, kashok, tulsi, kalara, and lotus in worship of Shri Radha Govinda today. By these practices, one will get darshan of Radha Govinda. Well, if you can chant 264 rounds. No, four. And you can say, there's lip deep and heart deep. Lip deep is here. This is the lips. The heart is a little bit more down. So you can offer prayers with your lips. Oh, Radharani, please this. But when you offer prayer, when your heart, you know, heart deep, then it's something a little more meaningful. Krishna listens to the heart, not to the lips. Why is that? Because even a bird speaks with the lips. Even a parrot speaks with the lips. The lips for the parrot, we call lips, they say beak. We have lips, they have beak. That's their lips. So they speak with their beak.
Radharani.
They can speak, but there's no heart is there. It's only lip, beak deep. Beak deep is the beak. It has to be coming from the heart. So then, because Krishna listens to the heart, heartfelt prayers. We read that description. One should offer, it says in Nectar Devotion, the 64 Angas of Bhakti. It talks different. In the list there, there's some different. Five or six, maybe seven different points about the deities. One should recite notable prayers before the deities. You don't come and, you know, just stand there. You should recite some prayers. Whatever prayer, some prayer. Then bring in a little sheet, read something from the book, the Brahma Samhita prayer. That's what we told the other day. Prabhupada had us speak that. Not that we just stand there. At least you can stand there and admire the beauty and pray silently in your mind. That's okay too. But at least Rupa Goswami is telling, and we should try to follow what he says and take it seriously, because he knows what's best. And he knows how to please Krishna most. Because he's Rupa Manjari. When Rupa speaks, it's Rupa Manjari speaking. So he says one should recite some notable prayers. What does that mean? Well, that doesn't mean me. I mean, I don't know any notable prayers. And I don't know how to recite them, so forget it. I'm not going to do that. But no, you better learn one. You better learn a few notable prayers, or you better read one out of the book, read the Brahma Samhita, or, you know, read, you know, Divaivasmi, or something, anything. Some prayer by the Acharyas to Radha and Krishna, or Radha, either one. And then other things that's along that line, it says that that's the same one. It said one should recite notable prayers and meditate on the form of the deity and beg for the mercy of the deity and surrender oneself wholeheartedly to the deity. It's also described in that same section about reciting. One should offer some heartfelt praises, heartfelt prayers to the deity. So it should be heart deep.